already introduced myself, so I don't need to go through that. And my presentation is on my own fieldwork experience on my own island, Polab. So before I go through it, let me give you a little bit of background or where this language is spoken. So here is a map of the Pacific Islands, and in far up in that corner, it's the Federated States of Micronesia, and Polabese is a language that is spoken on an island in that area. So you won't see it on the map because it's very big, it's very small. You don't see the island there. It's only about 0.283 square miles. That's how small it is. But this is an up-close map of Polab. So background info, there are, according to the 2000 FSM census, there are about 900 speakers of the language. And of this number, only about 250 to 300 are presently living on Polab. And I just got that information from somebody who just came from there. And the language is undocumented, except for the little things that I have on my website and letters that people have in their personal letters, which of course the public will never have access to. And there are no pedagogical or written materials in the language, except what I just mentioned. And any available text or written materials is in either English or Lakun Chukis, which is a very similar language, or it's a sister language of Polabese. So a purpose of the research or the field work or over the summer. My purpose were twofold. One was to design or develop an orthography of Polabese based on other existing or similar orthographies in the area. And this orthography, I wanted to be endorsed and be supported by the community. And I feel that that reason is very important because the Lakun Chukis orthography, which is currently in existence, what I saw, there was a problem with that. It was not endorsed by the community. So maybe a group of people, linguists or whoever, were working on that, and they never got a chance to directly work with the community to see if they support this. So it was never fully in place. So that's why I found that designing or developing an orthography with the help of the community would be very important. And then the second purpose of the research was to document unique aspects of the language or the culture, such as oral histories and practices that are specific to male domains. I was really interested in that because I'm a woman, I have no access to those, so I just want to learn, like, for personal reasons also. So I wanted to document this before they are forgotten. So those were the two main purposes of the field work over the summer. So orthography development, like I mentioned, there is really no set orthography or writing system that people follow. They just use the existing Lakun Chukis and Mordlakis, which are related languages. And it's funny, the way when people write, anybody has their own like spelling system or orthography that they follow. And here in the picture on the board, I listed four different writing systems that I found people use and that are in the Bible or other written materials in Chukchi. So I had them up on the board and to show people the different writing systems that we use and for them to choose which one they like or which one was more appropriate for Polabese. And also part of the reason why I specifically do not like the Lakun Chukis or the Mordlakis was because some of our symbols, or the sounds that are in our language, are not represented in their orthography. So I wanted people to understand that if we don't have those in our orthography, then what happens to how we talk or how we say words when they're not represented in the symbols. So just another part of the orthography meeting with the whole community, and where people were voting, like, we agree with this or that. And this is a video clip. I'm not going to show it now because I don't have much time, but this is just one of those things that pop up, and I had to take a, like, I had to record it because it's a unique part of the culture that is not, I know it's not, it doesn't exist in other parts of Micronesia. But if you want to learn more about it, see me after the session. Anyway, while doing this field work, I found, like, as a native speaker, there are both advantages and disadvantages, of course. I think all field workers experience that. But as a native speaker, I found this to be quite profound for the disadvantages. But I will come to that. So let me start off with the advantages first. Being a member of the community, of course, enables me full support and access to the community. So it's different in a way from a non-native speaker who will have to seek support from the chief or whoever, any connection they have to get access to other folks. I had no problem with that because I was a member of the community, so they were in full support of that. But then, giving off this support from the community members, there was an underlying assumption that because I'm a member, I should have their best interest at heart when carrying out this. So they kind of trust me to do what is good for everybody. So that's a big burden in itself to, like, always choose whether this is good for the community or not. And then another advantage is my status as a graduate student. So that helps a lot because not many young people go off to school or go off to college. So just me being a college student lent weight to my voice. So, and because women's voice is not, I would not say it's not often heard. At, like, general meetings, women are not really encouraged to speak up because it's the men who are making the decisions. So my being a graduate student enabled me to speak up at these general meetings. So that was advantageous for me. I would not be able to do that if I was not doing this field work. I wouldn't be able to speak up at these general meetings. And then on to the disadvantages. I found these to be the major stumbling blocks during this research. There are certain cultural expectations or protocols, and of course, responsibilities to the family that a native speaker have to go through. And more so for me as a woman, a single woman, because foremost, with my family, they expect me to, because I'm unmarried, to do all the house chores and all this stuff, so they count on me to do things. And also, you're expected to behave in certain ways as a woman. You're not really free to move about the community as much as you want, especially when men are sitting around. So, for example, if you remember from the photo, the orthography development meeting, I had to sit and ask somebody else to do all the work, like stand up and do this, because I was not, it's part of the culture. Women cannot stand up when men are sitting. So that in itself was very, I knew about it, but I thought I could get away with something when I was there. No, can do. That was not. So, and then the second major disadvantage that I found while doing this was inaccessibility to areas that are specific to males, or like male domains, I would say. And if you remember from one of my purpose or of this research, that was one of my main area of interest, to document things that are male specific, because I don't know about those and I want to learn. And I didn't really get a chance to do that over the summer. One reason was because, for example, like canoe carving, nobody was carving any canoe over the summer, so that went out the window. For foraging, a little, it's not really what I expected or what I set out to do. I actually spoke with some men, like, we should go voyaging to the small islands just so I can talk with them and record, like, document. But we never got a chance to do that, and several reasons, like, contributed to this, and it's all, like, part of the cultural and family things, yeah. So other things were going on that enable us to carry out these plans over the summer. And, of course, navigation suggestions. So it's, that one very much ties in with voyaging. There was never really a chance to do that. So I had to do some quick thinking or planning over the summer, because, like, from June to, I would say, mid-July, there was not much that I was doing, and it's all because of family. Something happened over the summer that I was not able to fully do what I wanted to do. So I had to do some quick thinking right after, okay, I'm not able to tap into the male world. Okay, what other options can I do? So I had to kind of shift focus from that male-oriented or male focus area to just general, do any documentation of what I see, like natural conversations or any event that is going on in the culture. And one of the slides that I showed, the war games, that was like something that just popped up, and I was like able to document the whole thing. So that in itself was good. Oh, there you go, adjustment in the field. And then in conclusion, these are based on my own experience, so it might not be true for everybody. But so in conclusion, I think there will always be challenges faced in the field, but it's always up to an individual to make the most out of it and to turn them to their own advantage. That's my first, what I draw from this experience over the summer. And then the second one, challenges faced both by native speakers and non-native speakers might be different in nature, but they can be equally detrimental to one's research if not dealt with properly and immediately. So, and that's it. Kiliso Taupur, mahalo. Thank you very much.
Kiliso, Polina. Thank you very much for this interesting talk. We have 7 minutes for questions.
Thank you for your question. I did that. I did some of that. So, like at these meetings or at some events that I was not able to, I asked. But I was not really keen on that. First, because the recorder that I had with me was university owned. So, it was not my own. I borrowed it. So, I was afraid that if it breaks, I won't be able to. So, that's one reason. Second, I don't know. I personally just like to be the one doing this because I don't know. I'm just a stickler of that. Like, I feel more comfortable doing it because then I would know what I'm looking for or what exactly. But if somebody else is to, and I've seen that happen when I asked like one of my nephews to record a session, and then I listen to it, I'm like, no, this is not good. It's too far off. The sound is not. Yeah. So, but I did that. I tried that.
It is.
When I was like running through this, when I was facing these challenges, I was thinking, this is when a non-native person should come in. because the person can move around. He or she is not fully aware of what is appropriate or not. So if the person breaks like cultural protocols, that's okay because he or she is not aware of that. So I really thought of this. I'm like, this, it's really good to have someone who's not a native person in this instance, yeah. Good question. How this? I think they are, I would say, of this, they're same, similar dialects, but to have to use materials that were created in Polawatese in with Polapis community, that would be much better than using the Bible, which is written in the Lakun Chukis or Mordlakis, which is a little far off. Yeah, but I would still not recommend using there any pedagogical materials written in Polawatese and Polapis because there are slight differences, especially with the vowels. Yeah. Thank you.
What are the sounds in Polapis that you couldn't use that aren't represented in the Chukis?
Good question. There are three sounds that are not. H, 4-1, is not represented in the Lakun Chukis, and then L, and then retroflex R, that's not in the Chukis language. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Sure, I get your question. I'm like smiling. Okay, what does she mean by? They did not discourage me at all, actually. In fact, it makes me more like, now I learned from that. Next time if I do this, maybe I should do this or this. And collaboration, I thought of that a lot because it would be very helpful to have collaboration with someone from the community or and also other linguists or people in other fields, yeah. But yeah, I'm not discouraged at all. Say the whole, or the people who were on Polap and on Weather that I met with, it, and also the community here in Hawaii, they're very supportive of it. It's just that we don't have the resources to create these materials, so they're very happy if somebody else or if I'm willing to help with that. So they're very supportive of it. Yeah, people don't. We don't want to lose our language or our culture. So.
Any more questions?
Thank you for being.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you again, Polina Kiliso, for a fantastic presentation. We have 10 minutes for break and for the next session. Okay. Okay, please stay for our fantastic presentation next session.
Can I use my laptop?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good.
How can I use it for this?
Oh, okay.
I didn't know I have 10 minutes. I hope I have enough batteries. I thought it was like start at 10:15.
It's 10:15.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 5 minutes. Sorry, next session starts in 5 minutes from 10:15.
Yes. Yes. So can we connect my this one? Because I do have some sound.